This is the highlight reel. It's my show.
Oh, you didn't get the memo? Oh, hold on a second. I got it right here. There you go.
This is a California speeding ticket.
Actually, I need that. Hold on.
Whoops.
It's a long night.
Here we go.
Memo. Straight from Shane O'Mac himself.
To whom it may concern, effective immediately, the highlight reel with Chris Jericho has been canceled and will be replaced by the...
As the
heel
turn.
Wow, that was some incredibly subtle editing work from our man in the booth, Dario Pop Passarelli.
Actually, no. It was not some of my best work there, once I thought about it afterwards. If you're the host of this show and Chris Jericho got canceled on the highlight reel, that makes me the potted plant.
Yeah. Oh, wait. So am I the original potted? Oh, okay. Hold on. So no, I got lost in the...
I got lost. You get Jericho, I become the potted plant. Which, you know, depending on what kind of plant... Never mind.
I really stole the show of that whole segment there. Anyway.
Yeah.
As I mentioned, that was Dario Pop Passarelli. I'm your host, Big Al, Alexander K. Lee. The most handsome man in the professional wrestling podcast world, Conor Dorian, could not be with us this week. But, of course, he'll be back sooner rather than later. Let's start off talking about that segment, the Chris Jericho, Dean Ambrose segment. A very good, amusing segment, I thought, on what I thought was a good, amusing episode of Monday Night Raw. Now, maybe my standards have dropped for Raw considerably over the last 6 months. Very possible.
Well, considering that you had one or two hiatuses.
I must have banned
yourself twice, right?
Yeah, and one of them had a time limit and the other one was like indefinite. It was just like, I'm not coming back until I get bored. Like when I feel like coming back. And I don't regret it. And I think maybe that's why I'm enjoying Raw again. You know, you watch it, you're able to watch it on your own terms now, you know? You don't have to watch it live. Like I'm doing what you do. I sometimes try to watch the episode the day after, maybe skip some stuff. Strategically skip some things, you know.
A 3-hour Raw is way too long.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they do, even if they do it properly, even if they give every single wrestler their proper time and everybody maximizes it, 3 hours is still way too long.
Think about any forms of entertainment that you could stand for 3 hours. Like a movie, I hate movies that are 3 hours long. Unless we're talking about a real, like you have to have a good reason for it. But we've talked about this a lot, like once you crack that like 2:15, 2.5 hour mark, you better be putting on like the greatest movie ever or the greatest TV show or whatever. Yeah. Because, you know, our brains, you and I, Pop, we're a little bit of the older generation. Our brains cannot handle that. And I don't think kids can either. We live in the short,
it's longer than 15 seconds. Kids can't handle it.
So how is entertainment getting longer and longer? Like, I don't understand. I feel like the people who are in charge of these things are not thinking this through.
I can understand. You try and give your audiences maybe more bang for the buck, but the truth is when you start stretching it, you're not. It's taking away from it.
Yeah, and I guess as long as the ratings are, you know, at a certain level so they can get certain, you know, ad revenue, then it's fine, which seems to be the case. Like, I know ratings have been going down for quite a long time, but I don't think it's dipped to a level where they've had to change advertisers. I don't know. I don't keep that, you know, that close a track on their sponsors, I'll admit. But I think we'd hear if, like, a lot of major sponsors were pulling out due to the low ratings. So they're clearly doing okay. And if you can get 3 hours of commercials, obviously it's how the WWE still makes a lot of their money.
And my second point is, I always thought that there should be like a 1 month break after WrestleMania.
Yeah, everyone would love to see some sort of off season, and it'd be great. And you know, we always talk about how good the production team is. They could easily find ways to fill that time. You could put NXT episodes on there. You could put some of the original programming on there as like a network, you know, like a network teaser, almost like a network preview. You could have maybe a few live matches. But yeah, any sort of break would be amazing.
I mean, there is no direct correlation. There obviously is no proof. It's just what goes on inside my little old head. But, you know, with all the number of injuries, and now we hear Bray Wyatt is up to one. We'll talk about that probably a little later. And it's just so much a body can take.
Yep. And again, we're talking house shows. We're talking just appearances in general, having to train however many hours a day. Again, I there's things they can do. Obviously, they have a top-notch, you know, team of trainers and everything, I'm sure, and facilities. But like you said, they're only human, right? So we'll get to that stuff later, like you said, the Bray Wyatt case. Probably we'll talk about that next. But yeah, let's play off that intro. We got Jericho and Ambrose, which I think is a good logical feud. It's very unfortunate for Ambrose that the Lesnar thing is on hold for now and possibly forever. But as far as...
And why is that?
I think Brock, again, you know, as awesome as it is to see him so many times in the lead up to Mania, we always get reminded around this time that he has limited dates. You know, it's funny. Like when you, sometimes you see him 3 or 4 weeks in a row, and you're like, "Oh, he's a regular part of the roster," and he's not.
And let me ask you this: does that add or take away from his character?
I think adds, but in this situation, it's just unfortunate for Ambrose.
No, yeah. I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. Yeah. And you know, even like with NXT, you don't see the same wrestlers week after week. Usually, there's a week. I mean, anyways.
Lucha Underground, same way.
Yeah, exactly. But we'll continue on. I do agree that having the two of them face off against logical choice for both of them. Dean's mic skills have been improving. He doesn't say much, but what he does say comes across pretty cool. He's building that character. And Jericho is a perfect guy to rub up against.
How did you feel about this exact segment? Do you feel it set things up in an intriguing way? Are you interested in seeing more talking segments or just seeing them wrestle? Like, did it? Are you intrigued by this feud? Do you think that Ambrose can benefit from it?
Well, not as much as what he could have happened in WrestleMania, but we talked about that last week. I think Chris Jericho is very good in terms of bringing more people over, but he can highlight the positives that Ambrose brings in the ring.
Yeah, he enhances people. Even the AJ
makes him look good.
The AJ Styles feud. We all know AJ Styles is good, but wrestling WWE style is different than wrestling other styles. So if you can have a guy, a veteran like Jericho, who one has wrestled in pretty much every place that you know Styles has, except for TNA. But you know what I mean, as far as geographically wrestled, you know, everywhere around the world. But also is a master of the WWE style. You know, the sort of more slower paced storytelling that they like to implement. I don't think Styles would be as over as he is now if it wasn't for that feud. Like, he came out hot, and I think they kept him hot by having him feud with Jericho. So I think that worked, and let's hope some of that rubs off on Ambrose as well.
Right, because obviously, you know, one's on the decline of their career, one's on the incline, shall we say. And I think this will help, and, you know, Ambrose might even win a feud.
He
might.
Let me ask, you know, that's a good point. Let me ask this. Does he have to win this feud? I don't want to say anything will permanently damage him, because again, he's really good. He's good. I feel like no matter what, he's going to be back in that main event scene. He's going to win a world title someday. But does losing this feud like really set him back, or is there a way he can lose it and still sort of maintain his, you know, whatever this character he has now?
Over the past year, I guess, maybe even longer, you know, the value of a win has really dwindled to the point of it doesn't really matter.
I agree. Depending who you are, though, but yes, for the most part, yeah.
And I think a good case in point would be WrestleMania, when there are certain people that we thought had to win, AJ Styles being one of them, and they didn't. AJ Styles loses, and now officially becomes the number one contender. Like, how does that make sense? But it does.
Somehow, yes.
In the WWE mind frame, it does make sense.
And I guess somewhere down the road, you know, you can always revisit that if AJ Styles somehow became world champion, Jericho would immediately, you know, get a title shot because he'd be like, "Oh, I beat you in Mania." So it did, you know, it did somewhat plant seeds. We said we were going to talk about Bray Wyatt. Let's go to that now. I was one of the people who was happy with the sort of out of nowhere face turn last week. Still not explained, by the way. And also that wasn't completely discouraged by the Rock segment at Mania. I focused more on that very brief, you know, that brief moment where Rock put him over as opposed to the rest of it. And I thought a face turn just makes sense for him. Even, you know, when you saw him come out yesterday, you realize how much of his act is a face thing. Follow the Buzzards. He's got chants. He's got, like, Follow the Buzzards. He's got the people singing. He's got the whole world in his hands still. That's right. A face thing, right?
Well, Follow the Buzzards isn't a face thing.
I don't know.
But them chanting their lines, then yes, that sure is a face thing.
And, of
I
course,
agree.
The holding up the phones. I mean, that's amazing, right? And he's got, you know, he's got great theme music.
I didn't have a problem so much with him turning face. Other than, one, there really wasn't that much of an explanation behind it.
Still not, yeah.
And you know, I'll give him a little bit of leeway, might explain. The, I don't want to say friendship, but the partnership with Roman, at first glance, I just went, "Oh, give me a shower. This sounds so dirty, I got
to
wash myself."
Oh, come on. All he did was, like, threaten to, like, kidnap his kid. It's like, not a, get over it, Pop. Come on, what?
Being the only dad in the room here... I laughed when I thought about it some more. And I laughed because probably one of the only people that you can partner up Roman with, and the fans are going to chant. Like, how are they going to boo now? Because now they're booing Bray Wyatt. They're not going to boo Bray Wyatt, right?
They kind of like him, yeah.
So I went, hey, it's a great way of covering up Roman there for a little bit. And unfortunately, little bit is it, because I have no idea in terms of what happened with Bray, but he was fighting in Italy, and it looked like he was holding his arm, but I'm not sure.
It's some sort of calf injury. But again, we don't know the severity. It was severe enough that he couldn't continue the match, and they apparently had to call an audible and do something else entirely. So that worries me. But, you know, again, these are early reports. We don't know for sure. Let's hope it's nothing serious, because that injury bug has just been nipping away at the whole roster. Again, I really thought that this was something fresh for him, you know, a face turn where he's essentially still the same character, but at least he can play to the crowd a little more and hopefully not cut his rambling, insane promos. So, yeah, you know, we hope it's nothing serious.
What I don't like about it is I'm picturing WrestleMania 40, 8 WrestleManias from now. You know, you look at the Wyatts, you look at the Shield, okay? When one was face and the other heel, they fought. When they were both heels, they fought. It was one of those things that they could have developed year after year after year. Never, 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 never. And then finally, 8 years down the road, they have this unholy alliance. But, I mean, maybe they needed to be short-sighted because of the reaction that Roman was getting, and they thought that this was the best way to kind of help him through.
Yeah, plus things move so quickly now. You know, it's crazy. It's like the Wyatt Family Act is only, what, maybe 2 years old. But it feels like we've seen it. It just feels like we've seen it so much. It's just on TV. So there's just so much WWE programming.
You know, I look at something like what happened with the women's division in NXT with Bayley. You know, that was built up over 2 years. I don't think anybody had any idea at the beginning that this is what was being built up to. But they came across with, you know, phenomenal 2 years, never have won the belt, always fell short. And then boom, beat Sasha Banks. And all of a sudden we're talking about, you know, best match of the year. So that's the kind of spot that I was hoping for. But like I said, it is a bit refreshing to see the two of them together in the ring. And hopefully the injury isn't bad enough, and we'll see where this takes off to.
Yeah, so Wyatt, come back soon. Let's hope everything's okay. You mentioned women. Let's talk about the Charlotte-Natalya title match, sponsored by Dr. Phil.
Actually, before we get there, you kind of skipped over something.
Oh, no.
And I don't blame you. This is not me coming down on you, Mr. AK Lee.
We don't need to mention them.
We don't. I mean, they did beat somebody.
Did they? What?
They wrestled the main event.
They did.
And they beat somebody. And for the life of me, I can't remember who it was.
Did they win the match? I honestly cannot remember.
Did the other group even wrestle?
Wyatt and Reigns won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But who did they face? I forgot.
Oh, they faced the League of Nations, the always relevant League of Nations.
Oh, yes.
It was Sheamus and Del Rio.
Not even the good one was there.
He was on the outside. And then he got a beating from friggin' Braun Strowman and Rowan.
Poor Rusev.
I like how early he's like, I'm more handsome than you. I'm like, you are, you know, Rusev, you are.
Rusev, leave the League of Nations.
I think they were in L.A.
Leave the League of Nations.
They were in L.A., right? So I think... I it's weird, you know, he's kind of a huge...
Bulgarians don't get over in L.A.?
No, it's the opposite. I'm like, actually, I think he couldn't be in the match because he's from L.A. Or him and Lana, I think, live in L.A. And he's like a huge L.A. Clippers guy.
Oh, I thought it would probably more due to Del Rio and with a large Spanish
that
contingent.
Too. That would help. But yeah, I think Rusev would have gotten cheered. I think they couldn't put him in. They're holding down Rusev now, and it's fine. You know, his time will come. They're holding him down. They're still mad about the Lana, the engagement thing, whatever.
You know what? And if we can liken that for a second too, it'd be cool if, again, 10 years down the road, we look back and go, you know, them holding him back was just like they punished Triple H.
I was going to say, that's, yeah, right? Triple H took his punishment like a man when it was his turn, didn't complain, had to do some dumb angles, had to get pinned clean by some people who, you know, couldn't hold his jockstrap at the time.
Exactly.
And when the time came... You know, he got the push he deserved, and look where he is now, right? He runs the company.
He literally runs the company.
If Rusev has a fraction of that success, I think he'll be pretty happy.
And we will too, because he deserves it.
He does.
But now on to the women's.
Oh, but see, now you've got me sidetracked.
No,
but we'll stay on the women. Okay. Where's Lana? They gave her a WrestleMania debut, and then I'm not saying she needs to wrestle again, but I don't think she's been on Raw the last 2 weeks. That's strange to me.
And has Brie been impregnated yet too? Like, I mean, she's supposed to leave to go have a baby,
right?
And we haven't heard anything.
See, we need our Total Divas specialist here. That's the thing, is we don't have Connor Dorian in. We need our Total Divas.
That's what he is. Okay.
Yeah, but it's weird. Last time she was, you know, she was back aligned with Rusev, right? But I guess
yes.
So it sounds so sad to say he's choosing to hang out with Del Rio and Sheamus instead of Lana. That sounds horrible.
Yeah.
I don't think any of us would ever make that decision.
No. Definitely not consciously. No.
But, you know, maybe she's doing live shows. She's probably wrestling at live shows, I imagine, you know, not on TV. Get her for some seasoning. But I would like to see her back on screen with Rusev. Again, Wade Barrett's gone. Why can't she join the League of Nations? She's also from Bulgaria. What happened to stables having, like, a female valet part? Like, I don't know. They don't do that anymore. Like, Sasha Banks should join the New Day. Because she's not currently involved in the women's title picture, right?
I thought you were going somewhere else with that.
I'm not going anywhere else. So
No, she should join the New Day because New Day rocks.
Yes. And so does she. But the rumor is that they're holding off on a big feud between her and Charlotte until SummerSlam. So until then, she's in a little mini feud with Natalya, which sort of, you know, spawned from Roadblock, a little incident at Roadblock. And they essentially carried the same sort of promo onto last week's Raw and then onto tonight, where they used this little mini feud to integrate the guest, Dr. Phil, who I'm not a fan of, but I thought they used him in an inoffensive way.
And it was quite sparingly throughout. Yeah, I thought Dr. Phil was good. It added a lot. You know, his non-verbal part of the Golden Truth.
That's funny.
Was funny. See?
I give him that.
The
thing with the Dr. Phil involvement is, it actually summed up what I liked so much about the episode was there seemed to be so much logical storyline stuff and, like, what they used their characters for. There was a lot of crossover. Like, Reigns in the last 2 weeks has interacted with, like, 12 different wrestlers. League of Nations, Wyatt Family, Zayn, AJ Styles, Jericho. That's a really good use of your world champion, you know? Obviously, he's not a world champion on the level of, like, a Cena and a Triple H thing, so it's, like, it's not as strange to see him interacting with the mid-card, but at least they seem to be acknowledging that. Upper mid-card. They seem to be acknowledging that, and I guess I may as well bring up this comparison now. It reminds me a little bit of the new generation slash sort of pre-Attitude era when you saw a lot of crossing over between, like, Shawn Michaels and Mick Foley and Austin. And again, maybe it's because none of these guys were bona fide main eventers at the time, so they had to do it. But it's when you're able to, like, logically connect these characters together and let them have matches together and one-off segments or mini feuds that you really start to build up the roster. So that's probably why I've been so optimistic over the last 2 weeks. And back to this Dr. Phil thing, they didn't have him come into the ring and cut a promo at all. It was all backstage stuff, and then he sat ringside for the Charlotte Natalya match, and he helped boost her character, which is currently that she relies on her father to help her get wins. And it actually made sense to have Dr. Phil call her out on that. So I'm like, wow, what an interesting use of celebrity integration. And strangely, he wasn't promoting anything. That's the other weird thing. No book, no TV show, no movie.
I didn't
even see a graphic like watch Dr. Phil every week at da da da. I don't think they probably did flash it quickly and I didn't notice, but they definitely didn't make a big deal about it. So kudos to the WWE booking team for using Dr. Phil correctly.
Yeah, when was the last time that came out of your mouth? But I know I agree with you wholeheartedly. It's you look at the situation and then, you know, I hate to reuse this phrase, it added a sense of realism to it by bringing out exactly what was going on, you know, not pretending that the audience is dumb and saying, look, yeah, father helps you cheat. You're going down the wrong path. But I also like the comparison back. I found that over the last little while, you have wrestlers that have been given glass ceilings. Now, whether that's by the company or by the WWE Universe, I'm not sure. Maybe it's a combination of both. But if you saw Fandango get into the ring with Triple H, I mean, you knew what was going to happen. Right. Back then, though, when you had all those wrestlers, Shawn Michaels, The Rock, Stone Cold, Bret Hart, when they were
Razor Ramon, 1-2-3 Kid.
I mean, mid-card, you had a sense of, well, you didn't know. And I think with Shane McMahon coming in, and not because it's his ideas, but just because the change happened on, quote-unquote, his watch, I see the same things. You know, you look at that WrestleMania, and again, we didn't predict anything that was going to happen there. I mean, one match. And even the freshness to Raw, the last two Raws, is the same thing. So, yeah, I like that analogy. The influx of NXT talent that's coming on board. And you know what? You don't know yet. Is Enzo and Cass, are they mid-carders? Are they, you know, a top line? You don't know. And you're not putting any glass ceilings on them, and you're giving them a chance to entertain you. and we'll see who takes the ball and runs with it.
Yeah, it's funny because it's unfortunate because you might see like some sort of weird short-term ratings drop or something just because there's not the familiar faces people are used to. But that's growing pains. You know, these are the things that happen. Again, the darkest period of the WWE was that new, quote-unquote, new generation period, pre-Attitude Era. The ratings were down. People were saying WWE was close to bankruptcy. WCW was kicking their butts. But look who came out of that. Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Mick Foley, Triple H. You know, these are the guys who are legends now. You got to go through those growing pains. And really, there was some of their strongest, like wrestling was during that time. Some good storylines. I mean, I know people are mixed on that period. But overall, it was a huge, huge part of the WWE's growth into what it became in the, you know, late 90s, early, the massive period of the late 90s, early 2000s.
And like you said, like there was 2 years where WCW kicked their butts in the mm-hmm. ratings. And these are people that still to this day can draw. I mean, what kind of pop did Mick Foley, Shawn Michaels, and Stone Cold get, you know?
Yeah.
And a little stunner. That's all he had to do. And you had over 100,000 people, like, just go nuts.
It's got their money's worth.
Got their money. If it was just that moment alone, they'd be happy. So, yeah, and hopefully now, like I said, with all this new influx of talent, let's see where it goes.
You mentioned Shane McMahon. Let's talk about his, of course, again, the storyline, whatever, throw it out the window. The best thing they're doing with him is he stays out of the way, really. He had a very good opening segment with Kevin Owens, which really only took like 5 to 10 minutes. It might have been 10 minutes, but that's counting the entrances and everything. The actual talking portion was maybe 5 minutes to set up a match. Like, I count this as, you know, people were saying there was a streak there where it had been 55, 56, whatever, 57 straight weeks of Raw starting off with a promo and not a match. But I think I would count this as starting off with a match. I think a few weeks ago they also started off with like a short promo and then a match. So I think they've broken, technically, I think they've broken the streak of opening with promos, even though someone talks and then the match, that's still a match.
I mean, they did before, previously. I think this one still counts as a promo.
Okay.
But here's what I found that was different. This wasn't Shane McMahon coming out saying, I'm involved in this storyline. Here's how I'm advancing this storyline further. This is what's going to happen. And the other person interrupting said storyline, you know, et cetera. What it was, and I don't have a problem with every single show starting off this way. Hey, welcome to Monday Night Raw. Here's what's going to happen tonight. There's these three matches for sure are going to happen. And wow, now I'm kind of invested in going, you know what? I actually want to see that match. I will stick around and find out what's going on.
Wait a minute. Are you saying that if you tell fans ahead of time what to watch, that people will watch? That's crazy, Pop.
Well,
are you crazy?
Not everything. You still got to leave the element of surprise there. They didn't announce the main event till later.
Mm.
But at least we knew some of the matches that were going on, and that was phenomenal. And by the way, Kevin Owens, you're going to face Swiss Superman.
Yeah. No, it's, again, I feel like the last 2 weeks have been very basic bread and butter booking, which has served the wrestling industry for a century. I know it doesn't sound so exciting. Like, again, I know that's not the sort of thing that draws in the casual fan. I know you need to, like you said, surprises. You need sort of like wild blood, wild angles, things like that. But, you know, for the audience that's already tuned in, and I think people are smart. I think people in general are a lot smarter about how wrestling works. Even your casual fan would see an intro like that and be like, oh, okay, this sounds cool. I'm going to stay and tune in. And, you know, maybe they won't tune in for the whole show, but at least, like you said, oh, I like AJ Styles, or I like Charlotte, I don't know, whichever other matches they announced.
Mentioned the
sure.
match, yep.
And then you're intrigued because then you're right, Owens shows up. They're like, oh, cool, well, I got to stay tuned in just to see where this goes. Like, this guy's getting in Shane McMahon's face, you know. Even if they don't know who Owens is, they're like, oh, I like this guy's attitude, you know. Let's see. He's kind of standing up to the boss. That's kind of cool. And, yeah, and it was a great logical thing. I'll say this also. I do hate to write stories for the company, you know, but this is a situation where some people were saying, and I think this is perfect because you want the heel to be somewhat justified, that Shane McMahon was totally wrong for not giving him his rematch.
And he was right.
You think he was 100% right?
I do.
What's your rationale? I have an explanation too, but what was your explanation?
My explanation is that Intercontinental Champion Kevin Owens lost the belt.
Mm-hmm.
And as per no rule that I know of, because I haven't read any WWE rules, but as far as I can tell, I always remembered that the champion is always allowed a rematch.
This is correct.
And he never got a rematch.
Yes.
So he's entitled to one.
Oh, you're on Kevin Owens' side.
I'm on Kevin Owens' side.
Okay. Here's the Shane McMahon side of it. Now, he would have gotten a rematch, except Zack Ryder is a dummy, and he without authorization, put the title on the line last Monday.
Yeah, but who asked to authorize it?
Shane McMahon, probably.
Then it's his fault.
It is
still.
Also his fault. It is also his fault. He should not have done it. Shane McMahon is out of line. That's poor commissioner work. I agree. Poor commissioner or GM work, whatever he is. But it was Zack Ryder who put the idea out there. So Kevin Owens should mess up Zack Ryder next week on Raw. I'll say that. So, but I feel like because the title changed hands, it makes the situation murky. It's like, well, now Zack Ryder should also be entitled to an automatic rematch, which he did get on SmackDown last week and then lost. But now it's like, now the lineage of the rematch is kind of broken
up. No, it hasn't. We've had this situation before.
I don't know, man.
We've had this with the WWE title,
look,
I think,
I
with Seth Rollins and winning it, and they had John Cena and Brock Lesnar. I mean, you can have a triple threat match. Kevin Owens, even now, even losing to Cesaro, he still deserves a title shot.
I need to see the fictional non-existent contract title.
I'll stamp it on your forehead with my boot. How's that?
I feel like, wow, you're really fired. Well, you know, I don't blame you. Owens was incredible. And also Cesaro in their opening match. Kevin, the headlock master, Owens. he has two jokes going on. The headlock master thing, and I think, I don't know if he did it, but he's also the ruler of Chinlock Island, I believe.
I missed that one.
I don't know if it wasn't on this episode. I don't know if he's done it on Raw before, but he was responding on Twitter, something like, it was from some indie show. Someone did that thing where, like, they run off the ropes a bunch of times, and then instead of, like they're going to kick a seated opponent, and then they just go into it like a chinlock. And someone had hashtagged it, like, Chinlock City or something. And I think Owen said, that's Chinlock Island to you, buddy, or something like that. So he's hilarious, right? We know his Twitter's hilarious. Not that I would know anymore because I've been blocked, and I'm only seeing it through other means. But the headlock master stuff was awesome. And then, the good heel that he is, then Cesaro gets the better of the headlock and starts doing this like switching arms thing, which
back
again
and forth.
Does nothing but looks hilarious, and the fans ate it up.
Especially after
the
comment, yeah. That's what happens when you have two people of that caliber.
As a headlock, as a freaking headlock sequence, and the crowd was dying over it. It was so good.
You were dying.
I loved
it. I was dying over it.
That's wrestling, man. That's wrestling. That got a better reaction than, I don't know, anything that happened, any flippy floppy stuff from Sin Cara and Kalisto. Nothing wrong with flippy floppy stuff, but I'm saying when you have strong characters, you see, wow, you can do a headlock segment and the crowd pops for that.
Just interrupt you for 1 second.
Please.
There was an NXT moment that was just hilarious and involved Ciampa and Gargano were fighting the Vaudevillains. Ciampa lifted Aiden onto the top rope with his feet and did like a DDT. So if you can just picture that. So in the span of like 2 seconds, he lifts him up, puts his feet on the top rope, and goes, bye-bye, boom. And you hear clearly, bye-bye. That was hilarious. Just a little thing.
Yeah,
like
a little
that.
Thing like that, right? No, these things add so much. And again, we're not telling anyone anything they don't already know. Kevin Owens is an amazing wrestler. Cesaro is an amazing wrestler. But it was a really good match. Really showcased Cesaro. You got the beautiful tape on the shoulder. The old, his shoulder's busted up, you know, which looked great. They worked it amazingly. There was two really good parts where he went for the giant swing and could only do one rotation before the shoulder gave out. And then, like, that's one of those moments where you want to give fans what they want, but at the same time, you have to put the story first. You know, obviously fans want to see a 10 rotation, you know, 15 rotation giant swing. But for this one night, you got to say, look, I can't. This is we're telling a story here. You know, this is not a circus act. Or if it is a circus act, it's a very high quality circus act.
And it's a wonderfully told story.
And wonderfully. And then he puts on the sharpshooter with the one arm and he doesn't use the other arm at all. He kind of like shakes the other arm. Is like, okay, it's just kind of there. He's kind of got to secure it with the one arm. And it looked amazing. So fantastic match. I got to shout out, again, the production crew, the camera work on his springboard spinning back elbow, and they put in the slow-mo on the replay. It looks like, how can they not say this guy's a superstar? He looks like the Swiss Superman. You know, he lives up to the name. It's kids and anyone watching that is going to be like, man, I want to be like this guy, or I want to see more of this guy.
And I know people are cutting him up because of his promo work, at least in terms of the past. Mm-hmm. You know, it has improved. It's not great.
No, it's not. Still not great. Definitely.
Still not great.
Never will be.
But when you match him up with somebody that dominates a mic skills, it almost becomes unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all he has to do is stand there, laugh, and then beat the crap out of Kevin Owens.
These guys, they're finding ways to put him with people who can protect him. We'll jump now to another thing I enjoyed. You know, we talked about the Miz skit a little bit. I don't know if you got to see the whole thing, but it was a funny skit, but also another skit to put Cesaro over, because Miz and Maryse are doing all this talking for like 2 or 3 minutes. Cesaro shows up. He says maybe one line. And then that line makes him look so tough. Even then, again, he says one line. That segment was carried by Miz and Maurice. But
that segment was.
But it makes Cesaro look cool.
Yep.
Right? And that's fine. That's why Owen's a good heel. That's why Miz is a good heel. It's they understand you're going to look good. You know, people will appreciate you, and you're going to look good by doing your job. You know what I mean? If you have a good babyface to work with and you help him get over, everybody gets over. That's the way the business works, you know? And again, we always just seem to lose these things. But yeah, really happy with the Miz's performance there. I thought it was hilarious when he's asking for multiple takes. And again, probably I don't even saw this part, but he goes like, JoJo walks in and he goes, Cesaro might be the Swiss Superman, but I'm his kryptonite. Kind of like that. And then he's like, no. I can do better than that. I can do better than that. And then Maurice is like, okay, take two. And he's like, Cesaro might be the Swiss Superman, but I'm his kryptonite. And then when he goes for a third take, then Cesaro comes in. And just really good character work, I thought. I wasn't sure about Maurice being back, but I thought she meshed really well with her off-screen husband. I guess probably also on-screen husband.
I did not know that they were married.
Oh, man, yeah. I think they got married a few years ago. Yeah. So that's working well so far. I really enjoyed that.
I wonder if she's going to be part of the women's division soon.
People are saying she's going to be on Total Divas. That's what I'm hearing. I don't think she's going to wrestle again. I think her wrestling days are over. But they say she's going to be on Total Divas, maybe because the Bellas are going to take a reduced role or, heaven help us, get a spinoff of their own. That's another rumor.
Where's Connor? We need Connor.
Oh, he'd be screaming right now in joy with glee, with childlike glee. Back to the wrestling. Sami Zayn, AJ Styles, a good match.
It was. I think the two of them can do better. I don't want to use the term botched, or sloppy. It just looked like they were a little bit unfamiliar with each other.
Styles has had some of that with Jericho as well. And I, you know, we've spoken about this, and we've spoken about this with Connor. And I've probably said this on previous shows, but I like a little sloppiness. I get very tired of the wrestling school, everything's super smooth thing. Because you can see it with certain guys in the WWE roster who, like, they're great. You know, it has a nice transition. Great. They did a great, like, little wrist lock, headlock sequence there, and the kip up and blah, blah, throw the guy off the ropes, drop down, leapfrog, all this stuff. It's like, oh, it looks super smooth. I'm like, it's a fight. Wrestling is, in storyline, is supposed to be a fight. And it shouldn't look like you're feeding the other guy your arm or feeding him your head or stuff like that. And I thought that they have just the right of choppiness in the AJ Styles matches. I'm sure, again, you know, some people will say it's because he's still relatively new and adapting to these opponents and stuff. But I loved it. The choppiness actually makes the match better for me.
I disagree to a certain extent. I can understand it's there. I think when you have a very well-wrestled match, it doesn't look like one move goes into the other. It doesn't look pre-planned, shall we say, or doesn't look like the other person is trying to help person B helping person A make a move. And that's one of the things that I found with that match. There's another match on NXT we'll talk about afterwards. Same thing where, you know, they're like half a step too far or half a step too close for an arm drag or something like that, and it just doesn't look good. That's all. So, yeah, like I said, I think maybe that they'll wrestle again, and I think they'll have a better match next time.
Yeah, very solid other way. Sami Zayn losing again, but we've spoken about this. Man, the guy, I think you tweeted it from our Twitter account, that the guy just gets over. You know, one guy goes over, the other guy gets over, right? The guy gets over no matter what. You know, while it's so easy and everyone keeps making the Daniel Bryan comparisons, that's kind of the guy he is. He's very much a Daniel Bryan type act, including with his recklessness. Whoa. Do you disagree?
I don't know yet.
I think that's pretty...
Are you saying that Sami Zayn's a B-plus player?
Oh, Lord. Don't even... Stephanie McMahon and Triple H have been off my TV for the last 2 weeks, and my life has been better for it. And so if you could never bring up anything they say again...
We need to get it. But my point is, though, is are we setting him up for an injury-plagued career?
Yes. Did you see him fall on his head?
Yeah. And that's... Yeah.
And the announcer's like, he landed on his feet! I'm like, yeah, he landed on his head, and then he landed on his feet.
Yeah, that worries me. More than anything
else. He was that close. Don't get me wrong, he's used to take, like, if you go to NXT, he seems to land on his head and neck and shoulder and all the time. And I'm like, okay, it's great. He's young. He happens to be blessed with a flexible, durable body. You're playing with fire. I mean,
as much as you hate them, the authority was right when they said that Daniel Bryan's body couldn't handle being in a
primo. Yeah, I guess so. Sure.
Because we also just talked about how much more the main eventer is going to go through on a weekly basis, and they're always on. And I just worry about Sami Zayn. And I worry about myself, keep wanting him to watch him wrestle.
Yeah, there has to be a way to tone it down. You know, he just needs to. Shawn Michaels used to talk about, and some people didn't like this, that he would kind of turn it down for like house shows and stuff. This is back when he was the champ, or coming up as the IC champ or something back in the 90s. Again, I referenced the New Generation. This is a New Generation episode. He would talk about, you know, he when it was Raw time, he would kind of turn on and you know, get all his stuff in. And then whenever there's a big match, but other times he would tone it down. And look, that might sound crappy in a way. That might sound like maybe he wasn't giving some people their money's worth. But he also went on to have a very long career. Yes, he had injuries.
And he had severe injuries
he did.
Throughout as well, where he was gone for a number of years.
Yeah. But then, thankfully, he was able to come back and have a long career. So I think that definitely has to do with him pacing himself. Sami Zayn, again, I know.
Not only drugs also helped him during that time. We won't go into that.
Zayn is in great shape. And I know, again, he has a knack for protecting himself. And that's awesome. But you can only gamble so many times, you know. You can only rotate that barrel so many times. So please, Sammy, take care of yourself. Let's move on a little bit, and we're going to transition to NXT soon. But first, I want to touch upon the tag team tournament.
Yeah, that was interesting. I like it. I'm going to say now, and hopefully WWE proves me wrong, seems a little predictable, and I don't mind that. But when you have...
Who do you think is going to win?
Who already won? I knew Enzo and Cass was going to face the Dudley Boys in the semifinals.
They didn't win yet, but I think they're facing the Ascension. So, yes, they're going to face the Dudley Boys in the semifinals. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. Fair enough. Yeah, sorry. And that's essentially a bye.
And I'm pretty sure that the Usos are going to face the Vaudevillains.
Okay, so who do you think is going to win the whole tournament?
That I don't know.
Oh, okay. I thought you said you knew.
I'm going to go with either the Dudleys or the Vaudevillains.
Yeah, friend of the show, Paulo Duque, he seems to think it's a Vaudevillains win all the way. I'm not sure why, but yeah, I don't know why. What's the justification for that? You guys watch NXT more than I do, probably.
Number one, they are a great tag team. I don't know why the push there. I'm just looking at more of a face heel kind of reaction.
A heel team has to win so they can face the New Day.
Exactly. And then you look at either the Dudley Boys. Didn't they already have have they had their time with New Day?
They did when they debuted, when the New Day were still sort of heels.
Right.
They haven't had Dudley's a heel face thing.
They haven't done
back.
The other thing. So, I mean, it is still possible that the Dudleys might win. But I think the Vaudevillains, like I said, one of the two, just because everything seems to be heading in a new direction, not a more veteran direction.
And you get the sense the Dudley Boys and the Realist guys are going to kind of mess up each other's chances to win the tournament and then go off and do their
and
own feud.
Off.
Yeah, they don't need to win the tournament.
And the Usos will go off into the sunset. Sorry, that was just me.
Yeah, but this is another example of, look how many storylines they can branch off from this tournament. Like, look what a good job they're doing with, you know, making this thing that has a very direct goal, but on the way to that goal, you have these feuds that are going to be created. Golden Truth is, you know, maybe officially will become a tag team. They're still technically not a tag team for some reason, which is, I don't know, it's dragging on forever. But
and you even go back to last week when you have the Fatal 4-Way to determine the number one contender. You know, you have that storyline intermixed with the Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn storyline. Like, there's just so many different possibilities that come out of something like that. Again, that's reminds me of the age back then when you had all this great talent and no predefined definitions of who any of these people are.
Give everyone a chance, right? So Realist guys, they cut another good promo. Again, I want to see more. There's something that's missing for me. Like, I know that he's an amazing stick guy, the Enzo, and obviously SAWFT, soft, is a great catchphrase. It's got a lot of good hooks. They got a lot of good hooks. I'm holding back my enthusiasm, as I am with Apollo Crews, who, again, I think is great. It's just his character is extremely... He doesn't have a character.
No, and...
He has no character.
It looked like he may be up there in terms of wrestling-wise to be able to do it, but I don't think he's... Well, he didn't come anywhere close to having the same kind of raw impact that, let's say, Kevin Owens did.
Yeah.
Who has as much indie experience as he did.
Even a Neville felt like... And I know they're a similar shtick, but even a Neville, felt like there was something more exciting about him when he debuted. Maybe I'm biased or something. I don't know. Maybe I like Neville more. I frankly don't think I have a horse in the race, but and the way he kind of just comes out, he's a very smiley guy, very sharp looking smiley guy, close to entering Rocky Maivia territory. You remember Rocky Maivia when he came, right? He had the ridiculous get up, and then he's smiling.
They shoved him down as the face down people's throats, and nobody wanted any part of it.
I already feel like people are getting tired of Cruz. Now I should say his match on Monday was another squash match, and it kind of came at like the 2.5 hour mark or something. It was obviously a cooler match until the main event, so it's not expected to get like a huge reaction. But I do feel like the social outcasts kind of outshone him.
Yep.
They have characters, right? And maybe this is to their detriment. I don't know if they did a good job of showcasing him, but that also, that goes both ways. I think maybe they could have done more, but he definitely needs to do more. And I do put it on him a little bit. As critical as I am of creative, we talk about guys like Owens and stuff. There's so many little things you can do to get yourself over. I don't see it. I think he's a great athlete. I love his moves. I love his moveset. Though the spinning powerbomb is going to have to go if... whose spinning powerbomb has to go? Sami Zayn's spinning powerbomb has to go.
Yeah, he's not going to be
able
to.
It looks beautiful. The way he hit it on Monday was phenomenal. He's never pinned anyone with it.
But AJ Small.
AJ Small. And it's not a believable near fall. He's never pinned anyone with it. So it's a finisher move that's never finished anyone. I'm sorry. I choked him. He has to ditch it. I love it. But I think let Cruz keep doing his version, his weird sort of variation of that. And Sammy's going to have to cut it out because it's not believable.
Well, the one thing that I like about this, and this might be a good way to, in terms of transition in,
mm-hmm.
Apollo Crews still needs work, in my opinion. And it looks like he's going to get it because he hasn't left NXT. I think next week he has a match with Samoa Joe. So, there's still room for him to develop. Maybe they just brought him up to see what so he might be going back.
Well, those might have been taped. The thing is, my other thing is, did he tape that episode ahead of time, though? That's my thing. I think he finished his tapings.
With NXT?
Yeah, he might have. Don't quote me on that, but I think he's done this last year.
I guess it's possible. Samoa Joe just cut a promo.
Yeah.
With regards to it.
Right.
And they even had Enzo and Cass interrupt a Alpha Males promo.
Okay. And American Alpha.
American Alpha, sorry. And coming in and congratulating them on winning the belt. And also saying, we've never faced off against each other. What do you say we mix it up? It doesn't have to be for the belt. And so next week there's going to be another tag team there that's going on. So like I said, I don't believe that Apollo Crews should have gone. I don't know if you can call it a push, but I don't think it should have been brought up to the main roster just yet.
Yeah, I'm getting that impression from a lot of people that we all like him. Obviously, we all like Apollo Crews. We all think he's got great talent. It just seems like why as opposed to certain other people. For example, let's just move on to the NXT thing. So we had, I'm just looking on here, Pop, is there anything in particular you want to point out?
Yeah, I just wanted, since we're talking about tag teams, let's stick with those. Like I mentioned, so it's good to see Enzo and Cass back, even though it was a promo job. They had one tag team match. It was in the middle of the card. And first of all, it's the first time I've ever seen NXT have 6 matches. So they were, fairly quick,
mm-hmm.
But they were all, most of them were pretty good. Like, I still enjoy watching 1 hour of NXT more than I do watching 3 hours of Raw. But the one match that really caught my attention was they had Vaudevillains, Aiden English and Simon Gotch, against two of our favorite wrestlers, Bruno Ciampa and Johnny Gargano.
Tommaso Ciampa.
Sorry?
You said Bruno.
Oh, I said Bruno? Jeez. Tommaso. And obviously, we have our connection. And it's really cool when, you see Johnny started the match. And one thing I want to talk about is the NXT crowd. When they start chanting, Johnny Wrestling. Like, this is an intelligent crowd. And I love watching a match when you have an intelligent crowd there. Being able to cheer, know the history, etc. And so, Vaudevillains against Gargano, Ciampa. Obviously, we know who's going to win. I'm asking. I'm looking
here?
At you. Huh?
Am I supposed to chime in here?
You're supposed to chime in there. Because who's fighting the next day at SmackDown for the tag team tournament?
The Vaudevillains.
Of course. And so when Gargano pinned Simon Gotch, I went, what? And again, it was a little freshness. Never expected it to happen. It was a great match. Some flying moves. There was this double kick to the head in the corner, which came off really looking well. And I was surprised that they would allow the Vaudevillains to lose a match just before going on. I don't know if people think that people who watch NXT don't watch Raw or vice versa. So I thought that was interesting that they would have a match for the Vaudevillains to lose before they get a push.
Yeah, that's kind of how they treat it, oddly, almost that they are separate audiences, which I think is there is a disconnect there. So I understand that. But you're right. Fans are so... The hardcore fans watch everything so much, it does look strange. But I guess as long as the casual fans, you know, don't pick out every win and loss, then it's okay. And, you know, theoretically, it sets the stage for them. It's almost like, you know, they're retiring from NXT, I guess. So they're going out like a wrestler would if they were retiring, you know, in their career. It's like you go out on your back.
And then you push somebody up.
And you push somebody else
exactly.
over. So, yeah, but it is strange because we know they're not retiring. They're wrestling. This episode will be tomorrow or something, or tonight.
Yes,
SmackDown,
yes.
Where
SmackDown.
They wrestle.
I liked it. And again, that's because I'm a Gargano fan. And if this means that, you know, they start getting pushed over a bit more, love to see that happen.
Let me ask you about some of the other action. So like you said, it looks like it was sort of a short episode, kind of to showcase some talents, you know, almost like it looks like an NXT sampler. I see Austin Aries and Angelo Dawkins were in the opener.
Correct. And not familiar at all with Angelo Dawkins.
Nor am I.
And nor do I think I'd want to be afterwards anyway.
Oh, no.
No.
What is his, does he have a character? What is he?
I have no idea.
Nothing. Okay. So just sort of the generic guy right now.
The only thing that I got out of that match, man, is Austin Aries short.
He is.
And I'm short.
Yeah.
So for me to say that he's short, that's saying something.
You're probably the same height.
That's short.
That wouldn't surprise me. He maybe has an inch or two on you. He's a small guy. And, you know, we love Austin Aries.
Yeah,
he's super talented.
Super talented.
But he definitely falls in that that category of, like, well, we know why WWE took so long to sign him. And also, his upside with the company probably isn't that high.
No. And I even think Johnny's probably a little bit taller than he is. At least.
Yeah, I think so too. Or it looks like it at least, yeah.
But again, in that same build there. So, I mean, the match was okay. It pushed Austin Aries again. It's his only second match in NXT, so second or third. So that was good.
Let's talk about what I really want to talk about.
Alexa.
Alexa Bliss and Tessa Blanchard, who I'm quite fond of as well. She's a young girl who I know she's had a lot of contact with the WWE. She's definitely going to sign with them someday in the future. It's inevitable. You know, they've had, obviously she's of the lineage of Tully Blanchard.
One of the four heroes from American Original.
The stepdaughter of Magnum TA. So she's got some pretty good pedigree. You know, she had some good people to help her, mentor her. I don't know if I assume she hasn't been signed. This looks like, you know, she was brought in to lose to Alexa Bliss. But how did that look? How did that match look? How did both of them look?
This is one of the matches we go back to when we talked about AJ Styles and Sami Zayn. There was a little sloppiness there. And like I said, it's just like, you know, when you go to throw somebody against the ropes and you grab them by the arm and you're about to swing them,
right.
Like it's like half a foot too close or half a foot too far. So it looked a little bit out of place or out of sync is probably the best way of saying it. But I do think that she does have a future. And
Alexa or Tessa or both?
Both.
Yeah.
Both. Well, Alexa, never mind. It's a PG show. But I think both of them have enough talent. And my God, how many phenomenal stories can you come up with in a split second when you mention Blanchard and Flair together?
I was
going
to say,
how can you
someday?
Not? You know, it'd be phenomenal if something like that worked out.
And you know, Charlotte's a great wrestler. What better person to help tutor a young female wrestler than... You know, then Charlotte and Sarah Del Rey, also the NXT trainer. So, you know, I hope Tessa gets signed sometime in the future. Again, it could be a while. I know she's very popular in the indie scene. She's you know, she's coming up the right way. She knows the right people.
Yeah, like I said, you know, you can imagine a year from now after, like, Sasha and Becky have had the belt each for, like, 6 months or something like mm-hmm. that. And Charlotte needs that little something to get her over the edge. And boom, who does she call on?
Right. Little trivia also. Tessa Blanchard also dating Ricochet. / Prince Puma of Lucha Underground, who is also rumored to be joining NXT in the future because they say he's finishing up his tapings with Lucha Underground. Nothing official. No one has said anything official. This is all strictly hearsay and rumors. But, boy, if you bring in that Ricochet into I mean, I know they've got a lot of high-flying guys already. He might be the best of them.
I haven't seen season 2 yet of Lucha.
Right.
I've seen a poster, and I saw Rey Mysterio down there. Yeah. So with Prince Puma, I mean, that would be look really awesome.
But you know, I'm still working through the first season. You've seen all the first season.
Yes.
That Prince Puma is something.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal.
What a guy he's going to be. I see Baron Corbin wrestled Tucker Knight. How'd Baron Corbin look? You know, future WWE poster boy Baron Corbin.
I will go back to what one of the announcers said. Before, we used to measure Baron Corbin's matches in seconds. this was another one. So a complete squash.
Tucker Knight. I'm just looking at. I don't know who this guy is. I think he might be one of those.
I repeat, complete squash.
It's funny how NXT is that it's this combination of superstar indie wrestlers and weird developmental projects that they sign. You know, fitness models, athletic, college football players, bodybuilders, like actors. Like they're just kind of fine. It's they want to try and mix them together and see.
What happens?
See what happens and see who emerges as a star. Because it could work. It could work. You know.
You never know.
You never know. Like, again, Baron Corbin is kind of in the middle. Baron Corbin was this, he'd played football and he'd done jiu-jitsu. And so he's sort of a combat sports tough guy. And then comes into wrestling at somewhat of a late age. He's already, I think, 30 or 31. So he's right in that sweet spot they want, I think. And that's, I guess that's why we've seen him brought up to the main roster. I will say this, and I hate to always repeat myself. No, I love repeating myself. What am I saying? I don't like his finisher. I don't like the end of days.
Cool name.
Cool name.
That's a cool name for a finisher, end of days.
Why is a big guy ending up on his back with his finisher? I don't like the visual. Like, it's cool how he sets it up, kind of like the swing him around, kind of throw him back. But he's so big, I don't want to see him on his back when he does hit this move. He should be, you know what I mean?
Like a Kevin Nash standing towering over their lifeless body. Yeah.
I don't know. My friend loves it. I know a lot of people like it. He's pretty good at setting it up, too. Like, he'll catch a high-flying guy and, like, do, like, he's done some cool variations of it, so I get it. Like, I see why they like it, and he's really comfortable with it. But
and he's got the look, I think.
Bayley in the co-main event of the show against Liv Morgan.
Let me ask you, what do you know about Liv Morgan?
She used to be... She's one of the fitness model. I know she's one of those fitness model types they brought along. Is she the one she wrestles in sneakers? Is she wrestling like in sneakers and she's like a sporty? She's sporty.
Yes.
She's like a sporty girl. Yeah.
Yes. And I don't recall seeing her before. I don't know if she wrestled in NXT.
This might
before.
Be her first televised NXT match. I know she's been doing. She might have gotten squashed by Nia Jax at some point too. Don't quote me on that. This might have been her NXT television debut.
Her wrestling skills?
Mm.
Not bad.
Mm-hmm.
I got distracted though.
By the shoes.
She reminds me a lot of Alexa Bliss, the short blonde haired.
Yeah,
girl.
Oh, for sure. Again,
and a looker. Did I get distracted?
But you're right. Even just the general look of her. Yeah, no, I've seen her before. It is strange they would hire. She's kind of a mix of like Alexa Bliss and remember like Oksana when Oksana was blonde.
Yes.
Yeah. So kind of weird mix of that. I just say weird. That sounds mean, but so it's good. But they had her in there with Bayley.
And she held her own. Like, I mean, she was active. She wasn't like very passive or anything like that. Very active. But yeah, I got distracted.
Sure. What are we going to do with Bayley? Do you think it's just one rematch with Asuka, lose to Asuka, jump to the main roster? Or where do they go with her now? We're in a little bit of a limbo with her character.
I'm not sure if you want to bring her up right away, but I still think you can use her for another couple of months and build up more of a storyline around Charlotte and the other two horsewomen that you have up there.
Yeah.
And then bring her in a certain situation rather than just bringing her up to nothing.
It's going to be tricky because as soon as you bring her up, fans are going to be begging for her to be in the title picture, right? Is that fair to say? Fans are going to be like, oh, whoever has the title, we want Bayley to be. And they probably should go that way. Like, I guess you strike when the iron is hot. But
that's, again, that's assuming that the NXT crowd and the WWE crowd are the same crowd.
Yeah, it depends where you debut her, right? You know. The other worry is, though, is I don't want them to do what they did with Paige. I hated Paige winning the title on her first night. I just did not. I thought it was really poorly done. I thought the segment was poorly done. I thought it was way too soon. It didn't make sense for her character, and it didn't make sense how they booked her after. Like, then, you know, her character on NXT, she was sort of a dominant face champion. And then on NXT, they had her doing like almost like a poor man's John Cena. She'd get her butt kicked for like most of the match and then win with whatever her finish happened to be. I don't feel she ever fully recovered from that. You know, I feel like she's always going to be over. I think people like her, and someday she'll get a strong storyline maybe, but I feel like when you give someone the belt right away or throw them in a hot feud like that right away, where do you go?
Like I said, where is she now?
She's just taking a break. Just nothing. They don't have anything to do for her.
Exactly. And that doesn't directly correlate to giving her the belt on day one. But yeah, there's really no room for growth, and that's why I don't want to see Bayley come up right away, because I don't think there's enough time for her to come up. You know, like I said, if you're going to have a storyline going on with the belt, which obviously there always is, I think you should have a secondary storyline that's going on somewhere. And right now, if you have Natalya going with Charlotte, the second storyline is going to be Becky against Sasha.
Yep. If I had faith, like you said, if I had faith that they could handle more than one, if I had faith they could handle one women's storyline, much less two women's storyline properly, because there was that exciting period where we had like a women's title feud, and also we had that great Summer Rae, Lana, Rusev, Ziggler.
But even recently, the Lana Brie was enough of a distraction.
Oh yeah,
right.
Good point.
And then, well, now we don't see any of them. Did they finish each other off?
I don't know. Lana, come back. We miss you on TV. Let's move on to the main event. How was Shinsuke Nakamura's second televised match in America?
It was good. Obviously, it couldn't not as long. It was probably 6 minutes. With regards to the match itself, I thought Ty Dillinger brought the best of him. And I think Ty also made a name for himself. At one point, Ty Dillinger, because, you know, he's the perfect 10, made a move and right in Shinsuke's face, just going, you know, 10, flashing his fingers. And perfect timing, Nakamura was just like blinking, like every time you do the perfect 10. And kudos again to the NXT audience. What did they start screaming out? Pointing to Nakamura. He's an 11. He's an 11.
Oh, wow.
He's an 11. And, you know, that went over for me anyways well. But it was a great match. And again, kind of shows what Shinsuke is bringing to the table here.
Yeah, I hope someday Taya Dillinger, future social outcast, gets a shot at the main roster. And Nakamura is going to be a guy, they're going to have to be smart about how they handle it. Because let's be real here, he's probably ready for the main roster now. There are some hurdles. There's the language barrier, as we said. He's not going to be able to cut promo. Like, if they bring him up and try to have him cut a promo, I will scream. Honestly, I will lose my mind. There's so many ways to bring him up and protect him, you know, in that regard. And like you said, also, there's a lot of people that they're thinking about bringing up already. So there's a big influx of new talent on WWE as it is. You don't want to have too many, you know, too much stuff to tend to in your garden, as it were, right? You want guys like AJ Styles and Zayn and Kevin Owens and them to still have their room to breathe, even though they've all been on the main roster for, you know, a certain period of time. So Nakamura, he's ready. He's so ready. It's almost it sounds like a poster. It's the company that's not ready for, you know, it's the WWE Raw that's not ready for him yet.
And I don't have an issue with it. I mean, I look at keeping him at NXT and keeping him
like
everybody else. I enjoyed this last episode. Take a look at what we missed. And actually, miss is probably a bad way of saying it. Your champion wasn't on the show, Finn Balor. He cut a, you know, quick second promo. Samoa Joe, who's probably your most famous out of anybody that's wrestling NXT, he wasn't on the show. Emma wasn't on the show. How many of the tag teams, your tag team champions, the American Alpha, they weren't on the show. And now I'm looking forward to next week going, wait a second, I'm going to see those guys. Which means I'm not going to see Johnny Gargano. I'm not going to see the Vaudevillains. I'm not going to see Bayley. I'm not going to see. And I'm okay with that because it makes me want to see it more. Whereas, you know, you watch the same old Raw over and over again. And now that they're changing it a bit, I do think that they should not make it mandatory that, you know, every Raw person has to be on Raw.
Mm-hmm. It almost sounds like they played off perfectly off of last week's episode, which was like sort of a highlight. They showed us like highlights.
Yeah, right? They only had the one match.
Yeah, they had the one match. They showed highlights, and then it's almost like this week. It's like, okay, you know, we were just reminding you who our current stars are. Now let's take a look at some of the people that are coming up, some of the new who could be the new stars of NXT for the next year. You know, and some people who might leave, like I said, Bayley and the Vaudevillains who are leaving. So, man, we got to wrap up soon. We didn't even mention the debuting Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows. That's how much stuff was happening on Raw. That, like, you know, how strong the storylines were moving along. Again, you know, it's kind of interesting how they debuted them, because I don't know if everyone in that LA crowd knew who they were, and I don't know if they should. So, it was a good debut. Two big bald dudes, tough looking guys, beat the heck out of who'd they beat the heck out of? They beat the heck out of,
I can't remember,
the
now.
Usos. So, you know, that made people cheer anyway, no matter
yes!
who they were. Yeah. People were just hoping probably it was two guys from the audience. But yeah, that debut happened. Again, another thing why, like, they can't debut, you know, Nakamura yet. They just have so many guys coming in. And, you know, good, strong additions to the roster. Raw and the WWE looking okay so far. Looking okay in the Roman Reigns era, in spite of whatever decisions, you know, people may have been against. It's kind of okay so far.
Let me leave you on a question.
Please.
Would it be beneficial for the WWE to go back to split roster with Raw and SmackDown?
You'll have to tune in to the next episode to find out. For now, this has been, I believe, episode 25. As the Heel Turns. I think we have more episodes than listeners at this point. But you know what? I don't care. I think we're having a great time. If you record it, they will come. Pop, do you agree?
I agree.
So we're going to...
if Dario edits it, maybe not.
We'll put on some raucous celebration music. Dario Pop Passarelli in the house. Your host, Big Al Alexander K. Lee, signing off. Next week, tune in for our brand split talk, if we remember. Take care, everyone.